This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is Haley Wassinger. And we're going to be talking about a conference that she just attended that was all about AI. And I'm really looking forward to getting into this. It seems like a lot of the discussion that we've been having lately is around AI, and it makes sense that it would be. But first, let me take a minute to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. You know, other shop management software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for professional auto repair businesses. Visit appfueled.com to get started today. Keep your shop top of mind on the mobile device they love. All right. Well, hey, Haley, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about this conference. I feel like it was very eye-opening for me and just really good takeaways that we're bringing back, not only for the team, but our clients too, to implement from it.
So the conference that you're talking about is the MAICON conference. It's M-A-I-C-O-N, which stands for Marketing AI Conference. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it was in Cleveland, Ohio, which it was my first time in Cleveland, which was also pretty exciting. But it's put on by the Marketing AI Institute, which is an organization that we at Shop Marketing Pros have been following pretty closely. We share articles, podcasts, findings from the Marketing AI Institute within our team all the time. And then they put on this Marketing AI conference. They've been doing it for a few years now, but this was definitely their biggest year so far. They actually said they had more people attend in the first day this year than they had at last year's conference altogether. So that was pretty cool. But it's really not just about AI in marketing. It was about AI as a whole. You know, not only AI, but automations. They had people there from all over the world, first of all, like people from Europe and Australia. It was really cool. But they had higher education there, law firms. So really across a lot of industries, but of course, one of the main industries there were marketing agencies like ours.
You know, just for those who are listening who want to learn more about this, there's a podcast that I know I listen to a lot. I think Haley listens to it a good bit, and it's the Artificial Intelligence Show. And the host of it is a guy named Paul Roetzer. And it's R-O-E-T-Z-E-R, I believe. And actually, one of the best places to follow him is on LinkedIn. He is very active on LinkedIn, shares a lot of AI knowledge. But I really enjoy listening to their podcast. And it's one of the things that's helped me to truly be able to keep up with and understand, at least at the level that I feel like I need to, what's happening in AI.
Yeah, for sure. And the cool thing about it was, and this is actually one of my big takeaways, which I'll get into, is that I went into that conference. I told this story to our team, but one of the first people that I met and talked with at that conference, she owns an agency completely dedicated to streamlining marketing agency operations with AI and automation. And she used to be a generalist agency, and then she's transitioned to, you know, this kind of agency within the last few years. And I remember I met her and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm over my head. Like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And then I ended up attending my first session, which was all about high performance prompting. So if you're using AIs like ChatGPT or Claude, it was how to prompt better for better output, how to prompt more efficiently. And in that session, I realized like, okay, I'm not really in over my head. Because everything that we're talking about, we do here at Shop Marketing Pros. I'm just learning how to do it better. And that's not to say that like we're at the top of our game in a lot of these things. We're not by any means, but we're not behind. Like I got a little nervous about, and so that first session, high performance prompting, literally was about everything that we do in our processes to create output for our clients and to create our client services. And I would say like that was one of my favorite sessions and one of the sessions with the biggest takeaways to come from it. to implement for our clients.
You know, I don't think I've ever talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it in the AI class that I taught at ASTA. And actually, we've got a, well, it'll be too late by the time this podcast episode comes out, but we're doing a webinar on November 20th about AI, and I'll be talking about it then. But I never realized the importance of prompting until actually I was listening to the Artificial Intelligence Show, and they were talking about the environmental impact of AI. And they were giving the examples of like how many gallons of water it takes to cool the servers for particular types of prompts. And just to kind of set the stage for this, I mean, they have reopened one of the reactors at Three Mile Island to power a Microsoft AI server farm. Some of the AI companies are actually building nuclear reactors to power these things. And of course, nuclear is, they always have like a lake or something right there so that they have access to huge amounts of water to be able to cool the plant as they're making power. But they have to cool these servers also. So they were showing that, like, just to have AI create a simple 500-word blog post takes about a gallon of water to cool the servers. And then, you know, they didn't even get into the amount of electricity that is used to do this. But, you know, so they're talking about a gallon of water for that. But then, you know, when AI gets into something like deep research, we can be talking about thousands and thousands of gallons of water to cool it. And they were saying that the thing that we can do that will make the biggest environmental impact, like positive environmental impact, is to get better at prompting. Because if I can get so good at prompting that I can get AI to generate whatever it is I'm asking it to generate on the first try, then that was all of the water and the power that we needed to use. And that to me was just, it was eye-opening, but it also translated into how much time your team is spending. If they get better at prompting, they're going to become so much more efficient. It's just wild to me. It's things that you would never think of otherwise.
No. And that's like, I was sitting there, you know, as someone who is in charge of operations in our company, I was sitting there thinking about it from a team efficiency standpoint, not even from a how many gallons of water, how much electricity. And like you said, hearing that is really eye-opening. You're like, oh gosh, we're not even talking about just our team's time and efficiency and their workload. We're talking about this whole big other thing. And it really is very eye-opening. And when I sat there in this class on high performance prompting, and this one was actually taught by Mike Caput, who is the co-host of the Artificial Intelligence Podcast. So as we were sitting there testing this and learning about high performance prompting and how we can make our prompting better, I was chatting with our director of content and also our director of social media about the prompts that we create for our clients, ensuring that they are universal. And when I say universal, I don't mean like every client gets input the same information. What I mean is we can copy and paste the framework of a prompt and then put the client's information, details, the thing that makes that client unique into that framework, because we know that that is a high performance prompt that will create a really great output. We don't have to go back and forth tweaking and testing and asking follow-up questions to, you know, the prompt. Like, we have already tested and know that that prompt works and is going to give us what we need. That's what this was all about. And then secondary to that was, once you have those high performance prompts created and you know that they work, to put them in a library. Don't lose them. And that's something that I wrote down again as one of the things that I wanted to implement off the bat, because I knew that we have these prompts and we know that they're good and we know that they work because we've tweaked and tested and worked on them over time. But it kind of triggered in my brain, I'm like, where are we saving this? If these are all just stored in ChatGPT, like, we got to get those out of ChatGPT, because God forbid, what if we lose access to one of our ChatGPT accounts? Or it just created this whole snowball effect. So that's something we've really been talking about and putting into play. Again, just from an operations and process standpoint, making sure everybody has access to those prompts and those prompts are universal. And then when we do need to edit them and tweak them or find ways to make it better, that we are going back to edit them in the right place. So that's just like my operations and process brain, like turning and nerding out. But it was really cool to see the high performance prompts, like just create a great output on the very first try.
And complete side note here for the listeners. If you don't have that operations person in your business, you're getting to just get a little peek into the brain of someone who really understands operations and is thinking about things like, where do our prompts live and what would happen if we lost them? Because if you don't have someone in your business who's thinking about those things, it's just a matter of time before. I mean, first of all, you're totally inefficient, and the efficiencies that will be built by having that operations person, I don't know, I could do a whole podcast on that, but you're getting a peek into that type of brain.
Yeah, for sure.
So there was one thing that you came back and told me that, like, if I learned anything while I was here, this was it. Talk about that some.
I think this is what you're going to say, because I came back with a lot, but it's voice AI is underrated, especially for using your ChatGPT as a strategic thinking partner, which I'm just coming out of our operations L10 that we had this morning. And this was one of our topics that we talked about in our operations L10. And we all shared how we were using our ChatGPT as a strategic thinking partner and shared with each other. And we all got takeaways from each other, you know, like, oh, you put instructions in your ChatGPT. I created a custom ChatGPT for mine. But the big thing we talked about was voice AI. I actually used my voice AI while on a meeting with Wendy on our social media team the other day, and she heard it talk back to me. And in the meeting, she was like, what is that? Is another person in our meeting? And I was like, that is just my strategic thinking partner.
I use voice when I'm doing input into ChatGPT all the time, but I've never used the voice feature to have it talk to me.
Yeah. So I've had multiple people now that have heard mine talk back to me ask if it's me, because I chose a voice that sounds similar to someone I would talk and chat and brainstorm with. And also I have instructions in my project on how I want it to respond to me. And so it responds in a way as if kind of like I'm talking to myself. It's very scary. It's very big brother, but it's very helpful. Like, I am legit having, I said today, everybody go talk to your robot. But I'm legit having conversations with my ChatGPT as a strategic thinking partner, just like you and I would get on a meeting and brainstorm something together or talk through an issue or problem that I'm having. I'm using my ChatGPT now to talk through those problems, get unstuck from something, talk out, not even problems, just big ideas, brainstorming processes for or outputs for clients and new services, like talking through new services with it. You know, we're beta testing a few new services, and I will talk to my ChatGPT about how the beta test is going if I'm stuck or something, and it'll give me new ideas to go to clients with. So again, really, we talked about at MayCon and today about how people started using ChatGPT as like a search engine replacement, which it is great for, but it can just do so much more than that. So really leveling up how we're using it to think through big ideas and services and, you know, troubleshooting for our clients.
Yeah, I did a Facebook post about this just a couple of days ago. I've been using it when I'm like studying the Bible. And it's crazy because, gosh, I've been a Christian since I was a little kid, but you know, and I've always had like a good prayer life and all that, but I've never been one that really spent a lot of time in the Word, like reading. And it was because there's so much in there that I just don't understand. And it's like, you know, I go on these trails of trying to dig up the information, and it used to be so difficult to do. But not long ago, I'm reading and there was something that I wanted to know about. And for the first time, I went to ChatGPT and asked it about it. And I got this beautiful breakdown of what I was reading. And it just like, it made so much sense to me, and I've gotten into some really deep strategic thinking, you know, with ChatGPT, and it's just wild. And I do the same thing, you know, with business strategy and financial strategy and some, you know, tax reduction strategy and all of these things. And it's like you say, it is so much, like it's so far beyond what a search engine would give you. It's like having a professional there that is just bouncing ideas with you. And it's been quite a while back, but I was listening again to the artificial intelligence show, and they were talking about these people who were developing relationships with their AI of choice. And it's just weird, like just really weird stuff. But, you know, as you communicate more and more with it, like its personality becomes stronger and stronger. And I know that like with the spiritual stuff that I've been doing, it is legit like having a mentor sitting in the room with me. It's wild.
Yeah. I say all the time, like my project in my ChatGPT account specific to my work at Shop Marketing Pros is because that's the one I talk to the most, is so honed in. And the stuff that it remembers about our company, not even just me, about our company at this point, you know, frameworks we follow, big ideas we have, our core values, like it knows those things, not just about me anymore, but about Shop Marketing Pros. And it remembers it. And so anytime it responds to me, it considers all of those things I previously gave it. And like, look, this is what I think people don't realize too about getting your ChatGPT or, you know, your LLM of choice to that point. It takes time. Like you have to put the work and effort in up front, but when you get it honed in, it really is game changing for strategic thinking. And like to put it in the context of a shop owner, someone who goes through operations issues, hiring issues, comebacks, or dealing with like hard customers that come in, whatever it may be, like you just said, you use it for tax and financial issues. It can truly be your business coach or your co-business partner, whatever you want to call it. You can hone it in to help you think through all of those issues or ideas that you encounter at your shop. We're obviously talking about it in a sense of running a marketing agency, but it really can apply to any business.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. Utter shop management software isn't made to meet the needs of today's independent repair shop. ShopBoss handles the needs of both single and multi-location shops with features that boost efficiency and help you build your business, like built-in DVI and VIN scanner, customizable real-time reporting, and integrated parts and labor guides. ShopBoss was built to be easier and more efficient than solutions that require a steep learning curve or complicated workarounds. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature, powered by 360 Payments, you can harness the power of text-to-pay, remote payments, consumer financing, compliance, surcharge, and PayPal and Venmo payment options. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your shop. Whether your goal is to grow your shop, open more shops, or just keep the one you've got running at top speed, ShopBoss has the tools you need to do the things you want to do. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. One of the other things that you talked about when you got back was about the importance of layering AI tools. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. And I remember I messaged you while I was at the conference and I was like, there's just so much out there. There's so many different automation tools. There's so many different LLMs out there. How do you choose? that was a moment of like overwhelm for me. Cause again, we were talking about Grok, we were talking about Claude, we were talking about ChatGPT, all these other things. And I'm like, how do you choose the best one for what you're looking for? The answer is you test and you layer. You don't choose just one. And we're actually going through this transition internally right now where we're switching a whole team over from ChatGPT to Claude because Claude creates better output for that team's specific function. And we would have never known that unless we tested Claude. We tested Gemini as well, and we still determined that Claude was outperformed it for what we were looking for. So when I had that moment of overwhelm, you literally came back and you're like, you don't go with just one, you use all of them, you know? And the good thing is a lot of them have free options. So you don't always have to do a paid one, a paid account on every single one. But, you know, determining ChatGPT is best for this, Claude is best for this. Connecting the two, connecting your, we're getting into agents, which is essentially training your AI to do small tasks for you, not replace you, but training your AI to do small tasks for you. That comes with layering and giving the agent access to things like your Google Workspace, which is kind of scary, but you know, giving them access to do those things so you can essentially begin layering, not even just different LLMs. I mean, getting into like agent programs. I wrote down a few like Writer, and there were a few other ones that we're looking into, but not just using one, like diversifying. It's good to diversify. Now that I say that word, like diversification, like you don't want to be dependent on just one. And something that, you know, the team came to me, they're like, hey, ChatGPT goes down sometimes. Like, what do we do when ChatGPT goes down? So it's really not great to be reliant on just one AI platform too.
So talk to us about Crit.
Actually, I think Crit, maybe second to voice AI, was my favorite thing to come out of this. And probably my favorite, my thing that I was most excited to teach the team about, because it goes hand in hand with using ChatGPT as a strategic thinking partner, is a framework to use for strategic thinking. And I kind of layered the Crit method. It's taught by Jeff Woods. He was a keynote speaker at MayCon, and something about his keynote was just like super eye-opening and just resonated with me. And so I took the ideas of Crit from his keynote, which I'll talk about, and layered it with voice AI. But Crit is, again, a prompting framework, and it stands for context, role, interview, and task. That is essentially the framework you use when strategically using ChatGPT as a strategic thinking partner. So first is context. You put in all the context that ChatGPT will need to know to give you a really great output. Next is role. You tell ChatGPT what its role in this method is. You are acting as my operations assistant, if I were inputting. Next is interview. This one doesn't change. And truly, this was the thing that was the game changer for me. You tell ChatGPT, ask me three questions, one question at a time, for better clarity and understanding and to help me identify things that I may be missing. And then you tell it the task, what you want it to output. I wanted a bulleted list. I want a summary. I want five, you know, paragraphs, whatever you want it to output. So truly, interview has been my favorite thing. Anytime I'm even brain dumping to ChatGPT, I tell it like, I'm going to brain dump all of these thoughts on you. And then I want you to ask me 2 to 3 questions, one question at a time for better understanding. The questions it has asked me sometimes, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that thing. Now I got to go back to the beginning. Or again, sometimes it's just for ChatGPT's own clarity, so it can give you a better output. And, you know, we're talking about more efficient prompting, like asking 2 to 3 questions, I guess, is not that efficient, but it is efficient if it helps it to give you a better output in the end. So the things that it has either asked me or spit out to me at the end, again, has helped me get unstuck from things that I'm truly stuck in. And I'm like, okay, my brain has exhausted everything I can think of. Or giving me things that I haven't even thought of that sometimes send me back to the beginning of a task to rethink everything with that in mind. But the crit method probably has been, again, second to voice AI, one of my favorite takeaways from the class. And I honestly, I think use it every single day.
Yeah, that is a very cool thing to do. I created a custom GPT for helping people find their ideal client profile. And basically that GPT is set up to ask a whole bunch of questions. And, you know, that way the person who is using it, they don't need to know this is what I need to go input. And it's the same thing. If you were going to your attorney and you wanted some advice about something, what are they going to do? They're going to ask you questions. They need to gain clarity on a few things before they can give you proper advice. Like after this podcast, I'm going to take those four pieces and tape them across the top of my monitor so that I remember. So context, role, interview, task. It's very cool. So I think a lot of people will get carried away with AI tools and they allow it to completely replace them, or they want it to completely replace them. I know that, you know, me as the CEO of the business, I love having this amazing tool to be able to help me. And like you talk about having a strategic thinking partner, but you want it to be a strategic thinking partner. You don't want it to do all of your strategic thinking for you because, you know, at that point, there's nothing that makes the thought uniquely yours. And I really do have a fear of AI making us dumber as a society because we don't use our brains. So I know they had to have talked about that at the conference. So what were your takeaways on that?
It's kind of funny because this morning when we were talking about this in our operations L10, someone was like, when you're out of office, are you going to send your ChatGPT in your place since it's your strategic? It's like, no, I am not going anywhere. But yeah, throughout a theme throughout the entire conference and a theme that they talk about on the artificial intelligence podcast all the time is still being human first. And there was tons of keynotes and breakout sessions about keeping or the human side of AI, as they said, and using it not as a replacement, but as a tool. And I think, again, like people get carried away trying to replace themselves with AI when really AI's best capabilities right now is for strategic thinking or to replace those monotonous, repetitive, low-level tasks. And that's what we're really focused on how we're focused on using AI as well. How do we use AI to make us as a person more efficient, not to replace us? And that's where also like the layering of AI comes in. Using it as a strategic thinking partner and then layering tools on top of that AI to replace the truly the low-level tasks when you're talking about having AI do things for you and complete tasks for you. And while I was at this conference a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, by the time this comes out, ChatGPT agents are brand new. They're still brand new. And I actually just saw the Marketing AI Institute release a blog on how ChatGPT agents performed initially. And truly, it didn't perform that well from a standpoint of doing high-level tasks. And I think that just goes to show you that it's not a replacement. It did really well with performing low-level, monotonous, repetitive, easy tasks. But anything that requires critical thought, it still needed to rely on a person to lead that critical thought and strategic thinking. So again, like you have to lead your AI, not the other way around, which I think is something that everybody's like, they're going to take over and, you know, we're going to be obsolete. And look, in the future, that could very well be the way like we're heading. But at least right now, I genuinely don't think it's a replacement for anyone yet.
Yeah, well, and that's the difference right now between AI and humans. And like you just said, I don't know where it's going. I don't know how far, you know, they can take it. But AI has a tremendous amount of knowledge, but it doesn't have the ability to think or to reason. And, you know, humans can think and reason. That's all the difference in the world right now. All right, so you come back from this conference. You've already talked a little bit about some of the discussions that you've been having with the team, but what are like some of the big takeaways specific to our impact on our clients?
We're focused on using AI as a tool for efficiency and for more quality output for our clients. So really refining those prompts to get the best output for our clients and becoming more efficient so we can do more at scale for our clients. And look, if you've listened to our podcast, attended our classes, you know, we are the antithesis of cookie cutter marketing. So how do we continue to scale and use AI and still keep it very personalized and unique for our clients? That is truly at the center of like any output we create. And we'll never edit a prompt or refine a prompt or replace, use AI, the detriment of the personalization and uniqueness of the output to our clients. So we're constantly tweaking, testing, and refining on how do we continue to do this more efficiently and at scale, but not give up that personalization that our clients come to expect, whether that be in our website content, our blog content, the designs that we create for our clients' websites and social content across all departments. We use this. And that's just something that we're very in tune with not risking giving up.
We actually, not long ago, hired our first person who is an AI automation specialist to come in and start building those AI agents and start doing some of those repetitive things. And, you know, some of it like phone call listening, for example. And of course, right now we're still doing a tremendous amount of human phone call listening so that we can make sure that what AI is telling us is accurate. And it's really, really good. It's not perfect, but you know, there's a couple of places where we still have some hangups that we've got to get past, but it's really good. And the amount of time that saves. And so many times, you know, I don't want to say that AI doesn't make mistakes because it absolutely does. It hallucinates. If you use AI enough, you're going to see things come out of it that where you're like, what? Like, what is this? But for the most part, especially on those simpler, mundane tasks, those repetitive tasks that just get done over and over and over, humans are going to make a lot more mistakes than AI is. So, you know, we get faster, we get better quality. But like you said, we have to be the ones who prompt it, train it, you know, make sure that it's doing right. Like, what else are we doing using AI that's benefiting our clients?
Well, so like you said, we are now doing the layering of AI, like the call listening automation you just mentioned. That's layering our call listening tools with training the AI on the quality of calls we hear, layering it to go to our reporting software. There's so many steps in that process that need to be refined, but the really great thing is when we do refine that process and we do get it honed in and really in place, the amount of time that frees our team up to do those bigger, high-level, critical thinking tasks that humans still need to do, where we really still need humans, you know, digging into client accounts, like that is game changing for not only our internal operations as a company, but our clients as well. We're using an AI program for refining and auditing our Google Ads accounts. So that's two initiatives right there, just on the ads team alone. Across any team that writes content, we are using AI to help us plan, create, and write content. Once the content is spit out, though, it always passes through a human. So we ensure that we keep that personal touch. And then something that I'm excited about us using AI for, too, is just deeper competitor and keyword research, planning of our SEO content and our SEO initiatives. So, you know, you mentioned deep research earlier. AI can scrape the internet way faster and way more thorough than any human can. And so right now, one of the automations we are building out is using a web scraper to essentially scrape the web for our SEO clients to determine like who their competitors are, what keywords we should go after, where are their gaps that we should be creating content on to own certain keywords that, you know, people are missing. And I think that will be a big game changer for the direction of our SEO clients as well.
Yeah. And something that would take a person, a human, days to do is done literally in minutes, if not seconds.
Yeah. It's really crazy to think about.
And it catches things that often a human would miss.
For sure. 100%.
So what's the long-term vision? What do you see coming down the road?
What I see coming down the road is, I'm laughing because I've told you this before. I'm like, I feel like we just need to go on a hiring freeze until we get all of this in place. And we're just so streamlined and efficient that we don't have to hire anyone anymore. And that is not realistic, of course. But that's kind of how it makes you think. Like, I can free up so much of this person's time that they can focus on these high level things. They just have so much capacity. They can handle more clients. They can handle more output. So down the road, I do see us getting more efficient. I do see us continuing to create the same unique personalized content that we're known for producing for our clients at a larger scale. And I think our content is just going, I say our content, I really mean like all of the output in our services that we create for our clients. I think it's just going to continue to get better more quickly. And again, at a larger scale, I think our team is really leaning into using AI as a strategic thinking partner, which will also just lead to bigger ideas. I don't want to say more services, but like bettering our service offerings even. It could lead to more services, but just bettering our service offerings and keeping up with the ever-changing trends of search, of Google, to make sure our clients truly are, their services are evolving as the marketing world around us is evolving.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you talked about just there, it was, you know, the way that AI will allow us to hire less employees. And it's kind of, well, it's, I know it's this entrepreneur's dilemma anyway. You know, one of the things that I love the most about being an entrepreneur is employing people and, you know, seeing people like build their lives. And like, there's not much that I love more than seeing, you know, someone that becomes a part of our team, you know, going out there and buying homes and, you know, buying cars and having babies and all of those things. We talk about, well, you know, AI makes it where we hire less people. And that's just a fact. And, you know, at the same time, as an entrepreneur, I have a responsibility to, you know, run a business that maintains a certain level of profit. You know, it's irresponsible to not do that. So, you know, this makes it easier to do that. But they talk a lot on the artificial intelligence show about whether or not AI is going to just completely, you know, take up the job market. And his name is completely escaping me right now, but the CEO of OpenAI, you know, which is the AI lab, you know, behind ChatGPT, has talked about how in the next 10 years, we will have no choice but to have universal basic income. And I don't know, you know, if that's reality or not. But one thing that has stuck with me is the saying that AI is not going to replace humans, but humans who use AI are going to replace humans who don't. And that is something that we have to take seriously. You know, it's like we are required at this point to use AI. It's not going anywhere. And to learn how to use it well. And, you know, for our listeners, it's the same thing in your business. And it would be real easy to think, oh, I'm in an auto repair business. AI is never going to replace us. But I guarantee you that you are going to see ways where AI is going to replace some positions in the business. I mean, we already have AI that is answering phones, and sometimes you can't even tell that it's AI. It's essentially an AI service advisor. I truly believe that AI is the A-tech of the future, like the diagnostician of the future. Of course, it's going to have someone whose hands and feet are used, you know, because it doesn't have that. But I guess where I'm going is to just ask the question, this is the marketing AI conference, but how much value do you see from a conference like this for someone like an auto repair shop owner to go to it?
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking as you were talking in my head. Like I said, there was a multitude of industries at this conference, not just marketing. And a lot of what they taught wasn't just marketing either. It was just legal classes about AI. There was operations classes using AI. And I think it's invaluable actually, because a shop that uses AI not to turn wrenches, ChatGPT can't get out there and turn wrenches right yet, but a shop that uses AI and knows how to utilize it properly for things like service advisor training, operations, that shop is going to do better than a shop, and maybe even put a shop out of business, that doesn't do those things, because they are going to run more efficiently and at a higher level because of their utilization of AI. And they taught things like, again, prompting, operations, the legal standpoint of AI. Those things are all universal. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. Again, if you're a shop that's not keeping up with it and you're kind of ignoring it, you're going to be just like in a market. It's just like a marketer. You're going to be put out of business by someone who uses it and learns how to use it well.
Yep. All right. So any last words for our listeners?
I'll just end with what I told my team this morning, which is go talk to your robots.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for being on with me. This was a little bit different of an episode, but I think we'll provide a lot of value, especially to those forward thinking shop owners. So remember, we are just one of a handful of podcasts on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. We used to be the Aftermarket Radio Network, but we are now the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Now, why that's important to you is because we have an amazing app now that you really need to go download. And you can find that app if you go to automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. And I'm not just saying that this app is amazing because I'm part of the network. When Carm showed me this thing, I was blown away by it. It is a really awesome app that has all of the podcasts in it where you can go favorite episodes and go download the app. It's a really awesome tool. I'm grateful that you were here listening to us today. I hope that you'll do it again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Marketing questions? Well, the Walkers have the answers. Check the show notes for their email.